take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel 23. Week before last, we got down through verse number 8. If you recall, David was contacted. The Philistines were fighting against. And again, you got several choices. It can be Keilah. It can be Keilah. It can be Keilah. You pick whatever you want. 3 miles southwest of Adullam, a city in the western foothills of Judah, 18 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And so David twice inquired of the Lord. First he inquired, and probably the Urim and the Thummim was used by the priest that came, Abiathar. And then the men were still filled with fear, so he inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So he went, and he fought with the Philistines. He got their cattle, smote them with a great slaughter. And so David was the hero again. He saved the inhabitants of Keilah, who should have been saved by Saul the king. Saul was too busy plotting how he would kill David. And then Abiathar, the son of Abimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod, and that's why David inquired of the Lord using that. And then in verse 8, Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. That's as far as we got. If you are keeping an outline, we looked at chapter 23, 1 through 6 was David delivered Keilah. And then beginning with verse 7 through verse 29, the Lord delivered David and his men. And then number 1 under that, from Keilah to the wilderness of Ziph, verses 7 through 18. Let's go ahead and finish reading the chapter, if we could have some volunteers. Someone, we'll start with verse 8. I know I just read it, but we'll start with verse 8. And if you would read through verse number 13, 8 through 13, George, okay? You got that, right? And then 14 through 19, who will take those? Miss Sherry?
Is that chapter 23?
Uh-huh. Daniel? Yes, ma'am. Yes. All right, so 8 through 13, 14 through 19, then 20 through 24. Who will read those? 20 through 24. Going once. All right, Miss Becca. And then 25 through 29. 25 through 29. Bill, you want to read those? All right, go ahead, George.
Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down, as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant, and the Lord said, he will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth.
And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained a mountain in the wilderness of Zeph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Zeph in the wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And and that also saw my father Noah. And the two made a covenant before the Lord, and David bowed in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Zephites to Saul and Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Achelah, which is on the south of Jezemon?
Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon.
When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness at Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi.
All right, thank all of you. All right, I'm just going to make some comments about some of the verses. I'm not going to reread it all. That would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? But first of all, notice in verse number 10 that David prayed. It's quite obvious, as we've seen in this chapter three different times, that David was a man of prayer. Unlike Saul, who kind of made his own decisions in the energy of the flesh, and sometimes, of course, now being influenced by a demon, he certainly did inquire of the Lord. The last part of the verse, "to destroy the city for my sake," can be, that's verse 10, can be translated, "make it a ruin on my account." And so David was concerned about what Saul would do. Notice in verse 13 that there are now 600 men back in chapter 22, verse 2, started with 400. Now he's up to 600 men that are following him. And of course, David was ratted out again. It was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, but he ceased his pursuit. And obviously the Lord was behind that. And then in verse 14, in the wilderness of Judah was the barren desert area between the hill country and the Dead Sea. That had a lot of ravines and caves and good hiding places. That's where David and his men went. The KJV says in a mountain. It's literally in a hill country in the wilderness surrounding Ziph. And then I highlighted in my Bible in verse 14, Saul sought him every day. Saul sought him every day. That was his priority, to kill David. And Saul knew. Samuel told him that David would be king. So who was Saul really fighting against? He was fighting against the Lord. That's right. Jehovah God. But God delivered him not into his hands. So the Lord sovereignly protected David. And then David, of course, knew that Saul was seeking his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood, or Ziph at Horish. And then Jonathan risked his life and went to see David. They, of course, had made a covenant. He went into the wood at Horish. And Jonathan proceeded to remind David of God's promises. emphatically assured David that Yahweh would make him the next king. Look at verse 17. Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. Which, of course, will not work out because Jonathan will be killed before that would happen. And Jonathan went to his house. And then the Ziphites came to Saul in Gibeah and ratted David out and proceeded to use a little flattery with the king. The location is unknown. Verse 19, David hid himself with us in strongholds in the wood. That's at Horish, in the hill of Hekilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon. Somewhere, probably located somewhere between Ziph and the Dead Sea. So then they began to stroke Saul's ego. I don't think Saul's ego needed much stroking, do you? He was pretty high on himself. And, of course, they said in verse 20, "Oh, therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And then there was some flattery involved. Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord." Because Saul was such a man of God, you know, he invoked the fact that God would certainly bless them for their turning over the next king. It's crazy, isn't it? How blind sin can make us. "For ye have compassion on me." So then he had a little woe is me. He wanted pity and he got it. He got a little pity, got a little flattery. And a poor, poor Saul. He didn't have anything to do with things being hard for him. He didn't cause any of it, did he? He was such a godly man. We probably don't cause ourselves any kind of problems in our lives by disobeying God, do we? In verse 22, where the Bible says here in the KJV, "Go, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place." He said, "I want you to make more sure. I want you to make more sure. I don't want a wild goose chase. I don't want to run all the way down there and then David's nowhere to be found. I want you to reinvestigate. I want you to do your homework. And I want to know he's at a certain place. You let me know." Because he said, David, the way the KJV says it, "For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. Literally, he's very crafty. He was slick. David was slick. Because David walked with God. God gave him a lot of wisdom. And then verse 24, David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, a barren territory in the vicinity of Maon, about 5 miles south of Ziph. And so Saul and his men went to seek him out, and they told David wherefore he came down upon a rock. A rock is a landmark in the wilderness of Maon. It will be named in verse number 28. At this point, didn't have a specific name. And abode in the wilderness of Maon. And so Saul heard about it, and he went after David in the wilderness of Maon. So David had half of his men on one side of the mountain, David and his men on the other side of the mountain, and then another part of Saul's men ended up, they had surrounded David completely. It did not look good for David, since Saul's forces were split into two groups, to completely surround him. But God intervened. God intervened. Verse 27, "There came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee, hurry, come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. And so Saul had to take his men, and he left David and his men, went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamalikoth." Would you like to move there and write that on your address label? It literally means the rock of escape. I think New King James actually puts it there, didn't you? You read that, didn't you? And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi, which was an oasis on the western shore of the Dead Sea, 14 miles east of Ziph. There, it was a place where there were fresh water springs and a lush vineyard, and had limestone caves to hide in. So it was a pretty nice place for David and his men to go to. And that would be, if you're keeping an outline, number one, underneath, the Lord delivered David and his men, verses 7 through 29, from Keilah, or Keilah, to the wilderness of Ziph, 7 through 18. Number two, from Ziph to the wilderness of Maon, verses 19 through 28. So after God delivered David and his men, they went to En-Gedi. Any questions or comments about chapter 23? We're rolling right along, are we not? What would you say is one of the major lessons we can learn from chapter 23? Anybody want to trust the Lord? David certainly did, didn't he? He inquired of the Lord because he knew the Lord was on his side. He knew that the Lord was Almighty God and he could trust him. Anybody else?
Man's efforts are futile against God's plan.
Amen. Good insight, Becca. Of course, you were trained by the best. She did do good. Are you laughing back here in the back? I'd kick your ankle, you know. George, go ahead. What do you got?
No, it seems like, you know, Saul lying to himself. You know, I mean, I don't know what he really thought, but with what he says, it almost seems like he believes it. You know?
Yeah.
So he believes he's doing something good, and you know, So trust in the Lord. Don't lie to yourself.
Amen. And don't forget, there was satanic influence. A demon would come upon. He wasn't possessed, but the demon would come upon him, and he was he had some serious mental issues. He was extremely paranoid. I say he was somewhat schizo, wouldn't you? So he was a mess. All right, chapter 24, I've divided this into four different sections, and I wanted it to all start with the same letter, so I had to do a little of, in a spiritual sense, a little MacGyvering. How many of you remember the show MacGyver? He can make a car out of a matchstick. Well, that's what I had to do with this outline. Let me give you the full outline, and then we'll get into the text. David's test, made it very short and sweet. David's test, verses 1 through 4. And secondly, David's turmoil. This was within himself. He was under deep conviction, verses 5 through 7. Then see David's testimony, verses 8 through 15. His testimony to the fact that he respected the office of the king. Beyond what I could imagine, if somebody, whether king or not, was after my life, it'd be kind of hard not to want to take him out if you have a chance, right? But David didn't. He spared Saul twice, once in this chapter. And then lastly, David's triumph. David's triumph. He was affirmed by Saul, looked like everything was going to be all right. Of course, it won't last. Saul was not stable. He would not last. All right, so let's read chapter 24. We've got 22 verses. So let's go ahead and have somebody do verses 1 through 7. Scotty, you want to do 1 through 7?
Sure.
And then 8 through 14. Ms. Rhonda. And then finishing out 15 through 22. 15 through 22. Need a volunteer? 15 through 22. All right, Mr. Leonard. All right, go ahead, Scotty.
It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. came to the sheep coats by the way where it was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "The day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way.
Micah 2:14.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your heart'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to speak, but my eyes spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in your hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see, there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancients says, 'Wickedness proceeds from the wicked,' but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog?
All right, Leonard.
After whom has the king of Israel come out? When do you pursue a dead dog, a flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me. And see to plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand." So it was, when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, "This is your voice, my son David." And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dwelt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For when a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold.
All right, thank you all. Just to, again, make a few comments. David's test, verses 1 through 4, he obviously had an opportunity to kill Saul. In verse number 2, we read that Saul took 3,000 chosen men. They were the most skilled men of all of Israel. And he did that just to go to find and kill David. And his men were in front of the rocks of the wild goats, which stresses the inaccessibility. You know how the wild goats can climb a straight up cliff? I don't know how they do it, it's crazy. So they were in some pretty rough territory. Well, King Saul, obviously, normally was not too far from his men. They protected him. He was the king. But he had to take care of some business. He wasn't, in verse 3, covering his feet because they were cold. That, of course, is talking about number 2. And so he went in the cave to take care of business, and David and his men were in the cave up against the walls, obviously out of sight. Saul had no idea that they were there. And then we get into verse number 4, and I want to remind you, I don't know of anywhere where it's recorded in the Word of God that David was told by Yahweh to kill Saul. And David knew that. Even though David knew he was going to be king, he was already anointed once by Samuel, and he knew he would be king, but he also knew that it must be in God's time. And so he did not feel it was his place to kill Saul, because Saul was indeed still technically God's anointed. Now, the men, on the other hand, assumed that God had delivered Saul to David. I mean, you would think that, right? I mean, here's David. He's hiding in a cave. Of all the caves in the whole area, this particular cave is the one that Saul chose to go in and take care of business. By the way, back in those days, they were required to carry a little shovel of some sort because they were instructed in the Word of God to bury it. So they had to dig it out and cover it. Well, then David figured, well, I got to do something to try to get Saul's attention. So he went and he cut the edge of Saul's robe. Saul had no idea what had happened. But right after David did it, I titled this David's Turmoil, verses 5 through 7, because he was under deep conviction, because he felt like touching Saul's clothing was really touching Saul. He said, I didn't have any right to do that anymore than I did to take the life of Saul. So he was that sensitive, and he felt like he had done wrong. And so he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. So he recognized that the Lord had placed Saul into the kingship, and God, Jehovah God, Yahweh, would judge and remove him in his time. Wasn't up to David. It was up to the Lord. And so he told the men that. And then in verse 7, literally what David did, according to some translations, where it says, so David stayed his servants, he tore his men to pieces with these words. He let them have it. I mean, he really laid into them big time, big time. And then, of course, David went out of the cave. And I'm going to stop here, and we're going to go over the prayer list. We will not reread this next week. I'll just make a few more comments, and we'll move into chapter 25. Any questions so far? Can you believe that we are now finishing up our sixth month of 2025? We are halfway through another year. Doesn't it seem like it was just Christmas? I mean, it's crazy. Once we hit spring, especially, thank you, sir, especially later spring, man, does time fly. Got a note here underneath David's turmoil. David felt it was an act of disrespect that would declare that the kingdom was transferred to him. And of course, he meant it to show that he did not want to kill Saul, but it could be misconstrued as him saying, the kingdom has been torn from Saul and it's now mine. All right, continue to pray for the church. Some of our new folk are starting to get a little slack in their attendance. Pray God will break their hearts and bring them back, because once you get in the habit of missing, it's easy to go all the way, and we don't want to see that happen. Pray for our nation. Much is going on. We got the Iran situation now, and got a lot of Republicans that are mad, said that Trump broke his word, but he had done targeted attacks in his first term. He didn't get us into a war. He didn't put, you know, boots on the ground. We're not still there. We went in, boom, 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 and when it came out. So I think they're wrong, but anyway, everybody has their opinion, right? Some even say they don't know how it was a threat to us. Well, if they would have got a nuke, it would have been a threat. And I know it's been said for years and years, they're real close. Well, they were really close. So pray about that situation. Pray that God would give our leaders wisdom. Pray for Israel. Pray for the Ukraine situation. Pray for law enforcement, our missionaries that are preaching the word of God. Pray Bill's kidneys would continue to function until the Lord raptures us all out and then he gets a new set. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Continue to pray for Mark and Rhonda for strength and great faith. Pray for Rhonda's mom, Gary's sister Darlene with leukemia. I didn't know. I thought maybe Gary and Kathy would be back today. They must still be on vacation. Let me write their names down, Gary and Kathy. I don't know where they're at, but pray for safety for them when they come back. Pray for Regina, Kathy's niece. Scott's ankle. You got, what, 2 more weeks before you get the walking cast? Huh? 2 weeks? Oh, you already got it?
I'm in the boot now.
I thought you told me it was going to be like...
That's what they said. I start PT next week.
Excellent. You know why?
Prayer?
Yeah. Been doing a lot of that. As a matter of fact, last night, one of the last... things that, well, I always pray before I go to sleep, and sometimes I'll fall asleep praying, and that was one of my prayers. God, please don't make it a super quick, unbelievable, miraculous recovery. I want you to be out on the golf course by next week.
No, well, I don't know about that.
All right. Stacy George's mother has surgery on the 14th of July. Also pray for her salvation. Yvonne Smith got some good news, but I haven't heard. She's got an issue that they haven't found the source of yet, so pray that that'll be the case. I got word this week that little Zeke has Lyme disease. They think they caught it early. They have him on amoxicillin, and of course they'll find out soon whether indeed they caught it early enough, but they think they did. Still had the little bullseye, which you don't always get that, but he did. He had the bullseye thing. So that would mean it was probably fairly early. Pray for Annadale's sister-in-law, Tammy Riggleman, who's not doing very well this morning. She had to be taken to the hospital yesterday. Her ammonia levels in her blood are high, and she's got a lot of health issues, so pray for her. Pray for Tammy. Danny Unger had a tractor accident. Eugene Cox, health situation as well, okay? How you doing, Rebecca? Are you doing better today? Excellent. Continue to pray for Rebecca and also for Ward. Pray that God will intervene for him as well. I'm going to write their names down while I'm thinking about it. But God is good, and he's powerful, and he is the only healer. Doctors can give medicine, and they can do different treatments, but they can't heal, can they? Only God heals. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we're thankful that you are God, and you gave us the strength and the desire to be here this morning, Lord. We want to honor you. You've done so much and continue to do so much for us. We cannot survive without you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying upon that cross, for shedding your precious blood, for making salvation possible. For without you, there is no way to heaven. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by you. We pray, Lord, for those we called out to you that need physical healing, that if it be your will, that you would heal them. Thank you for what you're doing for Scott and how his ankle is healing quickly. And we know, Lord, it's you. We pray you continue to give him a quick recovery. We pray that you'd work in his life situation as well. Lord, you know all about it. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to give Rhonda the strength she needs as she deals with Mark's situation and her mom in the nursing home. We pray that you give her great faith and encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that continues to direct our path. If we just yield to him as Christians and we say, yes, Lord, your will, not my will be done. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the coming hours. We again look to your word to continue on in the messages to the seven churches. Lord, speak to our hearts. Use these messages to point out to us areas in our lives that we need to work on and strengthen. And we pray, Lord, you'd be pleased with all that's said and done. Thank you again for our Savior. Thank you for your church, for your people. Thank you for this place we have to meet. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.